Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you ever stopped to think that the way you're marketing you or your business may be doing more harm than good? Maybe you haven't found the right way to break through the noise, be heard, and recognized for the talents you have. Have you considered what being a guest on a podcast can do for you? Well, in this episode, entrepreneur, author, podcast interview marketing pioneer, Tom Schwab shares how you can grow your business and create success in your career through a targeted interview strategy. As an engineer, Navy veteran who ran nuclear power plants, Tom Schwab brings a unique approach to the business world. He teaches you how to bring more visitors to your website, get more leads, and increase your profits through a proven targeted interview strategy. Tom is the founder and CEO of Interview Valet, and under his leadership, they have gotten over 700 top authors, coaches, and consultants and companies featured on over 30,000 leading podcasts to grow their brand and their business. And today, we are talking about what the right podcast interviews can do for you and or your business. But before we get to that, good evening, afternoon, or morning, wherever you may be, whatever time you're listening to this episode, welcome to another episode of Let's Coach. Now, Let's Coach is a show that brings the best from the coaching world for you to use in your everyday life. And we talk about what coaching can do for you. We bring you some great small business ideas and some good news stories and stories about people who are paying it forward in their everyday lives. My name is Carolyn Owens, and I'm the host of the show. And when I'm not hosting, I serve to help you up-level your skills so you can up-level your income, your career, your business, or your life. I love to connect with you, the listeners, and hear what you think about the show. Or if you'd like to be connected with a guest that we've had on the show, you can reach out to me by visiting what I call my connection hub. If you go to carolyn360.com, you're going to find links to my social media profiles, my blog, my website, email address, even to this podcast. Everything you need to connect with me. So go ahead and check it out at carolyn360.com. Now joining us today is Navy veteran, entrepreneur, author, podcast interview marketing pioneer, Tom Schwab. Now Tom believes you can drive long-term results through powerful conversations. And one of those powerful conversations is podcast interviews. As a small business owner and entrepreneur, he understands the unique challenges of business owners. This led him to be an early pioneer of using inbound marketing for e-commerce and targeted podcast interviews for marketing that connects. Tom is the author of Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy. And that's called the Bible of podcast guesting. And coming soon, he's finishing another book, One Conversation Away. It's a manifesto for a rich life and a profitable business. So guys, we definitely have something to look forward to there. And today, we're talking about that podcast guest profits and how podcasts can be a game changer for your career or business. So let's give a warm, Let's Coach welcome to Tom Schwab. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Carolyn. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for our conversation.
I am too. I mean, I love Interview Valet, all the people that work there. So, but I want to start by saying thank you so much for your service.
Well, thank you also. I know you're a Navy veteran too. And when people say that to me, I always have to say, well, thank you for paying for my education, right? I had fun. I loved what I did. And my thanks always goes out to the families. I had fun deploying, going to sea, but it's those families at home that have to deal with it. So I think they're the ones that really deserve the thanks.
And you think about it, there's only a small portion of the U.S. population that's actually served in the military. Why did you choose to start your career, or let's say your grown-up life, like that?
I wish I could say I had this grand plan. Actually, by the grace of God, it was a technical error. And so I have no depth perception. And you can't be in the military without depth perception, but they missed it. Oh. And I was a senior at the Naval Academy. They'd invested 4 years in me before they realized it and looked on the paper and said, oh, we missed that. By that time, they had invested enough money. They gave me a waiver. But to me, it was an opportunity. So I was a Midwest kid. I'd never been more than 100 miles from my home. And the Navy gave me the chance to see the world, right? Yes. After my first year, I'd been around the world. I'd spend a week in Australia. My world got big and it never got small after the Navy.
You know, it's funny because when you were saying how they missed that, it's ironic because when I became into the military as well, they had forgotten to have me sign a document. And I literally had like a minute to make a decision. Was I going to move forward and continue, or was I just going to go ahead, take my, you know, and go home? And that was it. But they realized, and I'll never forget getting called in the office. We need you to sign something. And I'm like, well, I got to read it. And they're like, okay. And then it's realized, oh my gosh, you guys never did this. So it's interesting how those things happen. But of course I was all in, I was going.
And it's interesting, you know, the things we learned working for a big company, yes, right? And I would consider the Department of Defense, it's a big company, right? On how they do things. I use that every day in my business, right? When people come back and say, well, you don't understand, my business is so complicated that there's no way that I could put a process down or explain this. I just have to shake my head and say, right now, there are highly motivated, highly trained, 20-year-old high school educated people that are running nuclear reactors in the Navy. They're doing it safely. And, you know, it's because they've got the right culture. They've got the right training. If they can figure out how to run nuclear reactors, I can figure out how to run my business.
Oh, you know, but then you fast forward a little bit and you dove into this world of e-commerce and you used inbound marketing for e-commerce. For those who are not familiar even what inbound marketing is, can you kind of educate us there?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was in 2008 when I read this book by two smart guys out of MIT, and they explained that the world was changing, right? That we look for answers. We don't want to be sold, but we go on the internet and we've got questions, right? How do you do this? What's the best one for this? And those people that share those answers, that have the content that engages and delights customers, that they're going to be the ones that win. And so at that time, I was like, wow, you know, this was blogs at that time. I'm like, this should work. And they said, well, nobody's ever tried it for e-commerce. And I'm like, man, it should work. Let's give it a go. And so that was 2007, built that business, sold that off. And then about 2014, I started to look at it and said, you know, blogs aren't working nearly as well as they did, you know, a dozen years ago. But I bet you could use podcast interviews almost like we used to use guest blogs, right? To get in front of the right audiences, to attract the right people, to repel the wrong people, you know, to earn that know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. So when you explain it from the consumer standpoint, people will go, oh yeah, that's the good marketing, right? That's the stuff that adds value, not just trying to club somebody over the head with buy me.
And you think about that's, you know, in the years that I've actually been in business, I think that's one of the things that we've seen go away. I know I'm turned off about that kind of caveman approach. And it's like, throw it in your face, buy, without even getting to know the customer or understand the customer. You know, you see those emails come through all the time.
And you can tell they're canned emails. And I've thought about this, that I think my grandfather, God rest his soul, would be more prepared for the future than my grandkids will ever be, right? Because he understood the strategy, but he wouldn't have understood the tactics, right? You can figure out the tactics. Now, I think more and more people are understanding the tactics, but not understanding the strategy of what they're trying to do, right? If you would ask him, how do you grow Cunningham Service Station? Well, you know, I go to the Lions Club. I do community service. I get introduced to other people in the community. And it's like, yeah, that's the same way you do it digitally, right? So go out there and speak on someone's podcast. Have helpful information out there so people get to know, like, and trust you. And I'm sure he would get it, even though he would have no idea, you know, what TikTok was. And at times I scratch my head and going, what's the newest one?
You know, and I want to reference a quote of yours that resonates with me a great deal, which is, and when you think about the strategy and the tactics, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is the potential for power. Can you elaborate that? I love that quote.
it sounds better in Latin. I always say that the best lie that I have ever heard is written on my Naval Academy ring in Latin, right? It's knowledge is sea power. And that's like telling a business owner, you know, knowledge is power. If you know more than your competitors, you will win every time.
Yes.
And it's a complete lie, right? It's the application of knowledge. Knowledge is potential, but you've got to apply it. So, you know, the sailor that's got the most knowledge doesn't win, you know, if they never go out there and train and or out on the sea. The coach that always studies but never goes out there and puts themselves out there and works with people to learn, they're not going to have any power there. In fact, if anything, the knowledge becomes wasted. So I have to remind myself of this a lot because I love to learn, right? So a lot of times I'll avoid doing the work because I'm learning, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll listen to this podcast, I'll read this book, but how much of that knowledge that I'm getting am I applying? So I always have to remind myself and share that with other people too, that knowledge is not power. It's the application of that knowledge that becomes power.
And I love that because we get stuck. A lot of business owners get stuck trying to obtain more knowledge. I mean, from any industry, even in their careers, people will stop to think, you know, I need more paperwork. I've got to have more letters behind my name, but they're never implementing a strategy or going down that career path because they're going after that next shiny object, that next piece of knowledge.
And it's like obesity is a problem in the United States, yes. Right? Yes. I am not overweight right now because I lack knowledge, right? I know that the other night when I was running late and went through a McDonald's, that was not a good decision. Right. So it's not the knowledge. It's not that I have to read the next book. Right. I just have to apply probably half the stuff that I already know. Eat less, exercise more. And I would solve that. So it's not that, I need the next diet or, you know, to get the next client. I have to get more letters behind my name. No, it's like I need to apply what I've already learned.
And it makes me a point I'd like to reflect on was, I mean, you mentioned your grandfather. It's something that else that he something he said to you that we hear people say a lot, and that's you can't choose who you work with, but you've learned to disagree with him on this one.
Oh, my grandfather, you know, people always say, what's the best business advice you ever got? And I'm like, I don't remember what the best business advice I ever got, but I can tell you what the worst one was. So my grandfather ran a service station in a small town, St. Charles, Illinois, about 10,000 people, right? And if you had a car and were within 10 miles of St. Charles, you were a customer or could be a customer of Cunningham Service Station, right? And so I remember when I was like 17 years old, getting ready to go to the Navy, having a beer with my grandfather. I think he thought it was my first one. The words of wisdom he always gave me was choose carefully who you drink with because you can't choose who you work with. And I understood what he meant, right? But we live in a different world, right? If you don't like someone, if you don't want to be around them, you don't have to be. And this doesn't mean that you're bad or they're bad, but it's a bad fit, right? If I wouldn't trust you around, you know, my family, I sure as heck aren't going to trust you around my business either. So, you know, we've got such a great opportunity here. You know, this is probably the first generation in the world that could say, no, I get to choose my customers too. If you're a coach, you know, how many clients do you actually need? Right. Yes. There's that old thing about 1,000 true fans. As a coach, you know, I don't know, depending what level coaching you're doing, it could be 100, right? Why not just find 100 people that you love, that love you, that would be great referral partners, that will be lifetime customers, as opposed to getting people that, you know, you wouldn't want to spend time with. At that point, it starts to blur the lines, right? Between what's work, what's fun, right? Clients that I work with, yeah, I know they pay me, but I enjoy talking with them whether or not they were paying me or not.
Yes. Those are the best clients to work with, and being in a position where you can create that for yourself. But one of the ways that you encourage and you help people do this is through the targeted interview strategy that you develop that helps people get actual visitors to their site, get leads, viable, true leads. What spurred you to kind of outline this process for everyone?
Well, I'm an engineer by degree, right?
Yeah.
So early on, we had used inbound marketing, you know, guest blogging, and that always worked. And we built our e-commerce company up from a regional player to a national leader. And I sold that about 2014. Mm-hmm. So while I was in this, I call it my sabbatical phase, I was in a mastermind group with some great people in Nashville. And they'd ask, you know, hey, could you help me with my digital marketing? And I'm like, yeah, I've done this before. And I realized blogs didn't work. And that for most business owners, writing a blog was a homework assignment. But they loved to talk about their passion. And there was two people that were coaches. And I'm like, well, I wonder if we got them on podcast interviews, they could tell their story, you know, get that know, like, and trust. And Carolyn, when it first started, I was like, well, it must be the personality or the niche, because I saw conversion rates that were 25 times higher than I'd ever seen on a blog.
Wow.
And, you know, the more I thought about it, it's like, no, after somebody listens to you for 30 or 45 minutes, they've either turned you up or turned you off, right? If they come as a lead, that is a hot lead. And at the end of the day, you know, none of us want just more leads. We want more customers.
Yes.
So you want the great leads there. So I started to do this. People were asking me how I did it. I put together a cheesy PDF that says, this is how you do it. And then somebody said, well, could you do a course on this to show me how to do it? So I put together a beta course and gave it away. Then I raised the price a little bit. And every 3 weeks, I would revamp the course to answer any questions that people gave me.
Oh, wow.
Carolyn, I killed that course after 3 months because there was a couple things. One, first, I realized nobody was getting value out of the course, right? The people that actually went through it were the ones that were telling me, this is great stuff, but I don't want to learn how to do this, right? I want to be the guest. You take care of the rest, right? And I, at that point, I was like, I don't know if I want to do another agency. So after quite a few people asked, I thought, we're going to beta test this to see if it actually produces results, because I don't want to take somebody's money if we're not getting, you know, great results with it. So we beta tested it. It worked so great that we took it out of beta in early 2016. One of our clients had come up with the name Interview Valet. And, you know, not only did he come up with the name, it wasn't taken. So he bought the URL and gifted it to me. And then we started it from there. So I wish, like with everything else in my life, that I could tell you I had this perfect plan, right? But no, it was really just listening to the market, listening to customers, doubling down on what they loved and stop doing what, you know, didn't bring them value.
Wow. You know, I'm just curious, the very first person who was that customer, that client for Interview Valet, do you know what they're doing now? Like how that?
We've stayed friends, and his goal was just to get some one-on-one coaching clients.
Yeah. Right?
So he was in Nashville. He was known locally. And he hung out with like Dave Ramsey, Michael Hyatt, those people. And he had some local coaching clients, but he wanted to expand. So he just, you know, whatever it was, he wanted 3 or 4 more coaching clients. Well, it gets out on a few podcast interviews. He gets lots of clients, right? So he thought, I'll just raise my prices. So he raised his prices and he got more. And it broke his heart that he couldn't help more people. And there were some people that couldn't afford his new rates. So he thought, I'm going to do a mastermind, right? A paid mastermind, get, you know, 12 people together and I'll do that. Well, within 2 years, he had 5 paid masterminds of 12 people each that were paying a month in and month out for this. Then he started to take some of the people that were in his mastermind and said, would you like to lead these also? And so I just saw last week, they do an annual event every year down in Nashville where people get together. And I bet you there was at least, you know, 150 people there that are in his masterminds. And he doesn't coach all of them, but just that exposure brought all that opportunity. And he, you know, he's gotten speaking gigs out of it. He got a book deal out of it. And really it was just getting his voice out there, telling his story.
Wow, that is a great story to see the outcome. And that's just like a 2-year progression. And many of us as business owners will spend years working on a marketing strategy that just doesn't work. You know, and I have reached out to people I admire and asked them to be a guest on the show at times, but they were hesitant because they didn't see themselves in that expert space, that they had something of value to share. And a lot of people, you know, you can have a local store owner or different individuals think, I don't have a fit for a podcast. When you meet people in that headspace, what do you say to them?
It's a problem that I had. And there's a couple things that I tell myself. One is, one of my favorite phrases is, what's ordinary to you is amazing to others. Right. If you've done 5th grade math, somebody that's doing 2nd grade math, you can teach them, you can help them. You know, if you've got teenagers, you can help somebody that has gone through, you know, the infant stage, right? Yes. So we all know something that can help someone else. And a friend of mine is a lawyer, and he helped me with this. He said, the legal definition of an expert is someone who knows more by their training, their experience, you know, their life than the average person, right? So if you've gone to get your PhD, that counts as an expert in the eyes of the law, right? But not everybody has a PhD. You know, if someone's doing something for decades or years, they've got expertise in that, right? So if you've been working in your business, working with people, learning things, reading books, that gives you expertise. Your own life experience gives you expertise. And no one ever says that I am the world-renowned, undisputed expert. There's only one expert, right? No, that's ridiculous, right? But everybody has expertise. I'll take that back. There's only one thing that I'm the world-renowned, undisputed expert, and that's my opinion, right?
Yes.
And when you go on a podcast, nobody's asking me my opinion on, farming practices in South Africa. I have no opinion on that. I have no expertise on there. No, they're just asking you about your life experience and your, you know, your small area of expertise. And I really believe that we are all blessed to be a blessing, right? The lessons that I have learned weren't just for me. right? They're so that I learn them and then I can pass them on to someone else. And I look at it and say, you know, in the days before the internet, I'm in Southwest Michigan, right? Kalamazoo, Michigan. How many people can I help, right? But now with the internet, you can help the world. And so I always encourage people that, you know, you're blessed to be a blessing. What you have learned, you can share with somebody else.
Yes. You know, and then the challenge becomes you take someone who has the education they have, and you see this a lot with a lot of veterans who, you know, the various jobs will have, the leadership experience. There's so many different things that you could be that expert in. How do you narrow it down to know what you should interview around?
I always say that we've all got opinions, right? I've got an opinion. I can hire a coach and a consultant. They've got an opinion. But to me, the experts are the customers. They're the ones that are voting with their time and their money. So asking what brings the most value when we work together in the coaching, what brings the most value, and start to double down on that, because they'll tell you what they love and what they loathe. And so just to do that, and I always say the best piece of fiction I've ever read or ever written was a business plan, right? I had everything figured out. Every graph, Carolyn, was a straight line. It went up to the right. And it never goes that way. Some people call it pivoting. I don't know. I think it's learning, right? What the market is doing. And I love podcast interviews because often the host is asking the same questions that your ideal customers will be.
Yes.
Right. So it's a little bit of market research there. And you can talk to different audiences. And let me share a story here. There was a gentleman that came to us and he's a fractional CFO, CPA, and he just about got wiped out in 2008 because all of his clients were brick and mortar on Long Island. And so he came to us and said, we said, where do you want to focus? And he's like, I don't want to focus. I want to be diversified. I want to have 50 clients in 50 different states and no two people in the same vertical. Okay. Well, it didn't take but 3 or 4 months. We're working together and he was on a dental podcast and he did amazing. And we took it back to him and says, look at these numbers. And he's like, I love dentists, right? They're professionals, they're recession proof. They have good cash flow. The next 6 months, all we did was put him on dental podcasts. His practice now is vast majority of dentists. He's got his own podcast now that's about the business of dentistry. And so, so with that, it's sort of, you know, using it as market research out there. Also go out to different podcasts, see what they resonate with, see what questions they ask, you know, and that will help you define your market too.
So it's like you have to be willing to take the steps, take the risk. And it's not in terms of this, like, you know, live or die kind of risk. It's a risk where you got to kind of get that comfort level to know where is that going to be for you.
And at times podcast interviews can be my therapy because as you said that, it's like, oh, she wasn't talking to the listeners. She was talking to me because my sense is when the going gets tough at our company, right?
Yes.
I've got a good work ethic. I'll put my head down. I'll just work through it. I'll figure this out. We've got a team of 35. All of these people would love to help me if I just reach out to them and say, could you help me on this? Or they already know how to do it with the thing that I'm struggling with. Or thinking I'm going to sit here and design the perfect product, the perfect coaching for what people want. I'll package it all together and then I'll launch it. Well, probably much easier and a lot more fun just to go out there and talk about, you know, what you're doing, what you're trying to do, what you're thinking about doing, and let people give the feedback on that. And I know there's that scarcity mentality where people say, well, if I tell anybody what I'm doing, they'll steal it. You know, I look at that is you can always copy what I did. You'll never copy what I'm going to do. And the founder of HubSpot, he always talks about Dharmesh Shah. He's like, when he has a new idea, he talks about it a lot because he said, if somebody is going to steal his idea, he's like, I want them to steal it in the early phases, not to wait till I spent 5 years of my life on it. And the thing is most people, they don't want to steal your idea. Right? We've all got enough ideas. But if you put it out there, people will start to say, oh, you should meet this person. Let me introduce you to them. Have you ever thought about this? And it's more fun working in groups that way.
And that's actually happened to me where someone, I had a concept that I was going over with them. And about 2 months later, I see them advertising something very similar. Mm-hmm. But I looked at it and I said, you know, they're missing one thing. It's not me. It was not what, because that's, it's a, something that, as you said, listening to what people want. And it's what they've been asking for. I just need to kind of jump into it. But I saw someone else who I went over it with starting. And I was like, huh. So it's very different. It's the same, but different. And I know there we will attract the clientele, the customers that's meant to be with us, you know, by the different approaches and culture and strategies that we use.
And when I put the book out, people said, you're telling everything you do. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because I can't help everybody. We don't work in every vertical. And I looked at it from like, you think of the great chefs out there. I am not a great chef, right? They can write a book. They can give me the recipe that says, this is exactly how I do it. I don't want the hassle of that. Our clients are the ones that read the book and say, I understand it. I don't want to have to do all that. You know, let me be the guest. You take care of the rest. And, you know, it's like there's always that little extra in there. And it could even be the experience, right? Of working with Carolyn as opposed to just reading the blog and trying to do the same steps. From that standpoint, when I share ideas, the ideas always get better.
Yes, it does. And, you know, we're talking about individuals being on these shows, and oftentimes they will want to just, it's like they add up the numbers, being able to say, I was a guest on this show, this show, this show, all of these different shows, going for quantity and just adding them up. Is that an effective way to approach this?
I can speak from personal experience. Having been on over 1,200 podcast interviews, and this is since 2014. And some people will say, that's amazing. I'm like, no, that is embarrassing, right? If you're that discerning, now, you know, I get paid by the interview, right? When people come and hire us and I tell them more is not better. Better is better. Instead of doing just more interviews, why don't you do more with every interview? And it bothers me when I see people teaching otherwise, proposing otherwise. Had somebody came to me, remember last year, and it was the month of June, and she said that her goal was to be on 200 podcast interviews in the month of June.
And I said, in one month,
I'm like, why? And she's like, oh, because, you know, it will do great things for my business.
It could hurt it.
Exactly. It will hurt it. Right? Because you're judged by the company you keep. Yeah. And it's like, how many interviews do you need? Just one, right? If you're on Oprah's show, you know, don't worry about it. The rest of your career is taken care of. But if you go on 200 shows, do a poor job, have a poor record out there, you'll never get that one shot. And people will judge you by that track record. We had a client that came to us and they had worked with someone else on a product launch a few years ago. And they went out there, launched their product, went on all of these podcast interviews, and then came back to us and said, you know, we've heard good things. We'd like to work with you for our next product. And we know lots of podcast hosts, right? So we're reaching out to sort of validate them. And the feedback we got from their campaign, you know, two and a half years before is like, no, they were takers, right? Oh, they showed up for the interview. They never promoted it. They never said thank you. And they did themselves great harm on those podcasts. And they pretty much closed off that channel to themselves. And so I, you know, what's the Hippocratic oath that doctors take? First, do no harms. I think there's, as professionals, we need to do that too. Now, another story is a gentleman came to me recently, and I'll never forget. He said, I asked him, well, why do you want to do podcast interviews? Because, and he said, because I wouldn't buy from people on the other platforms. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I am a professional. I hire professionals. And he said, I'm not going to hire a consultant because I saw, you know, their TikTok ad. He says, I'm not going to hire a lawyer because I saw their advertisement above the urinal. I'm not going to hire a cardiac surgeon because, you know, he had his picture on the park bench or something. He's like, no, that's not consistent with my brand. The marketing's not consistent. So he just wanted to make sure that he was marketing in a way that was consistent with his brand and spoke to quality as opposed to quantity. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way to think about that.
It is. It definitely is, because I know it's funny. When you said that, it reminded me, the dentist I have, Dr. Glasper in Maryland, I heard her speak first. And I really, and then I dove in and saw a little bit more of the things that she did. And that's why I chose her. Her story, her life experience, and why she got into dentistry and became so important to her, and some of the things that she had done. Hearing her speak and then, you know, doing a little more research, it was like, she's a person. You know, she gained that trust, because it wasn't just about, you know, making an income. It was a passion for her.
And you, how long have
came
you,
across.
How long have you been going to her?
Now? Gosh, it's at least over 5 years.
Yeah. Think about the lifetime value of that, right? Yes. It's the entire relationship is built on a relationship, not because you got a coupon that said, you know, $10 off your next cleaning. And yes, you just talked with her on a podcast here, right? She got free advertising. You're probably talking to about so many different people. So now you're not even just a customer, you're an advocate. And those are the kind of clients that you want as a coach, you know, even as a podcast guest, right? I tell people, do a good job. And then at the end of the interview, podcasters, no podcasters, just say, you know, thank you. Do you know anybody else that you think I could bring value? That will build your business. Or if you're a coach, you know, bring the right people, they'll bring other people, right? And that's how you really build your practice.
It is. It does. Because I will often talk about when I'm interviewing other guests, and it resonates with some guests I've previously had on the show. I emphasize their book or, you know, something about them that relates to the conversation. So it doesn't just stop at the one interview. I've written articles about people who have been on the show or highlighted back to them. So it is a relationship that continues. You know, when I something else I've noticed as a host is oftentimes podcast guests will be concerned about the number of downloads, you know, and in some cases in life, size does matter, but when it comes to podcasts, does size matter?
Better is better. Bigger is not better. And so let me put some numbers on that, right?
Okay.
Right now, the average podcast gets 150 downloads per 150 downloads per episode, right? Top 1% get 35,000, top 20% get 1,000, right?
Oh, wow.
And some people are look at that and go, wow, those numbers are really small. You know, I can think of a lady that we worked with, and she says, I don't understand. I was, you know, just on this podcast, and the other day I was on a radio station and I got heard by 4 million people. And I said, what radio station was that? She goes, oh, I don't know. It was some station out of Indianapolis. I'm like, no, they had a reach of 4 million, right? Not every person in Indianapolis was listening to that station at that time. And she's like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Or we had a client a couple of years ago, pre-COVID. I went down and saw him speak at Marlins Stadium at an event. He was speaking to 35,000 people.
Wow.
And he was really nervous the night before. And I'm like, dude, you've spoken to more people on podcasts. And he's like, yeah, but they weren't looking back at me. So sometimes people will say, well, you know, wow, you know, the podcast has 1,000 listens. That's small. I'm like, have you ever spoken to 1,000 people? Right. I remember the days when I would get in an airplane and fly across country to speak to, you know, 200 ideal customers. And now you think you can speak via a podcast. And even if they're multitasking, if they have to pause, if they have to respond to something, they can listen to it later. They can share it with other people. And so, you know, it's, I don't want to just speak to random people. If there's an ideal audience, you know, if, you know, somebody came to us and said, you know, can you target Fortune 100 CEOs? I'm like, yeah, you can target those, but there's not a podcast that's called the Fortune 100 CEO podcast with 100 downloads per episode, right? If there was, man, the advertising on that podcast would be through the roof.
Yeah, it's just when you think about it, that is such a great correlation to how many people who act, you know, usually you'd speak to these smaller audiences. There were 40, 50 people, but the potential of what the podcast can do. I have people who come and listen to episodes from 2-3 years ago. We've been around since 2013. And I've got an email from someone who listened to an episode from 3 years ago. And she was connecting with the individual who I interviewed. He's the easy dating coach. And so she was reaching back because she loved that interview and was downloading some of his stuff. So I thought, how cool was that? You're talking an interview from 3 years ago. So it's evergreen. They're out there. And that value, that continued added value for a person in business, even as a career professional, I tell them, if you want to kind of make yourself known in your industry, do some podcast interviews.
And do the interviews and then do more with the interviews. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you promote this interview, you can be sure that I'm going to be promoting it also. Right. My team will cut it up. Right. And make some little different social media ones. Often we'll hire a journalism intern from the local university and give them all these interviews and say, could you write some blogs up on these? You know, they're so used to doing that. So now I talk for 30 or 45 minutes and now I've got a month's worth of content and it didn't take me any more time.
I love the idea of having that journalism student write the articles, because then it would free me up to do more stuff. find one.
they love to do that, and it's real world experience for them. That's what they love to do.
That's awesome. You know, what's something that a potential guest should consider before deciding what show to be on? What's that one thing they need to keep in the back of their mind?
I would say who you want to talk to, right? Start, you know, Simon Sinek says, start with why. Yeah. Maybe start with who. Who do you want to talk to? Because you can't say enough of the right things to the wrong people or the wrong things to the right people. So think of who it is that you want to talk to. And one of the things you'll find is that often the audience is like the host or aspires to be like the host. And you know, there's not a lot of great data around audiences, but that's a rule that always follows there. Wow. And you know, think what podcasts you enjoy, what podcasts your customers listen to. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Joe Rogan. It can be ones that are very, very specific to your geography, to your business, to your stage of life. And, you know, it's start with there. And the other thing I always remind people is, did you ever see a play? There's no play that ever starts out on Broadway. You know, they always do other shows and they'll do smaller venues to learn, to master the craft. They'll show up prepared. They'll do the best show they can, but they always work their way up there. So I always remind people there, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
I got to put in a plug for the movie, Tick, Tick, is it Tick, Tick, Boom?
Yes.
Which kind of displays exactly what you're talking about on how they started and how, yes, that's an excellent depiction of it. But, you know, when you figure out the type of show you want to be on, who you want to speak to, how do you actually get to be the guest?
Gary Vaynerchuk always talks about, you know, jab, 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 right hook. And I probably missed a few jabs in there. I always say, I believe in life, it's serve, 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 ask, right? Carolyn, tell me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, there's three types of people that podcast hosts want to have on their podcast. First one is their friends. The second one is friends of friends. And the third one is people they'd like to be their friends. Is that pretty accurate?
That's pretty accurate. People I admire.
Yeah.
That I really like, you see them and it's like, you get to have that conversation and they're real.
Yeah.
They're not trying to, they share, like you're saying.
Yeah. And with that understanding there, most people will go and say, well, I'm going to robo pitch everybody. Right. How does that ever work? Right. Mm-mm. So build that relationship. And that's where that, you know, serve, 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 ask. Well, find out a podcast that you think, you know, I'd really like to be a guest on this. I think people that I work with would listen to this. So serve, right? Listen to the podcast, leave them a rating and review, right? We're all vain, right? We all listen for our own name. I don't care who the podcaster is. If you leave them a rating and review, they will notice it, right? Follow them on social media,
yeah.
Share their content, comment on the content in a authentic way, right? Then after you listen to the podcast, you're like, you know, I think I could add value here. Then you reach out to them as a human being, right? Not with a form letter, not with a robo pitch, and just say, you know, Carolyn, I've been listening to the podcast. I love it. This guest was great. I really got a lot from him. I can't believe how many times Tom Schwab said, and you know, but whatever. So show that you have listened to the podcast and then come to them and say, I think that I could offer value service to you and your audience with this, right? You'll find that when you do that, that serve, 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 ask, people will be asking you to be on the show.
Yes.
And it's a much nicer way. People will tell me, well, that's not scalable. I don't know if it's scalable or not, right? But I know it's highly effective. And what is scalable is to get a few of those invitations, do a good job, right? Add value, be there to serve, promote the interview, and then ask the host, you know, I really enjoyed this. Do you know of any other podcasts you think I could give value? If they each give you two, you know, it's that old commercial and they told two friends and so on and so on. It doesn't take too long for it to be very, very scalable. But it's scalable through service. And I think, you know, that's the only way to really stand out.
And podcasters talk to podcasters. We have a group of us who always say, hey, I just interviewed this person, but they're a perfect fit for you. You know, you might want to go ahead and check them out. I think in part of that follow-up, there's been times where I've sent links to the episodes to an individual and heard nothing back, you know, but then they'll try to add me to their email list or something. And I'm like, oh, no. But then you, somebody I met through Interview Valet, Amy Radzel, I believe, she is still tagging me and putting it out there. Oh, and we did the interview, gosh, it's been months now. And she still has that inner cycle to put it out there. We see it. I see my name pop up and I'm like, how cool is that? That she keeps using pieces of that. It's awesome.
And you realize as a business owner, as a marketer, that is probably some automation too, right? Mm-hmm. That she set it up to go out once a quarter, something like that. But she actually did that and cares about it. She's helping your business. She's helping her own business. That's one of the great things about podcast interviews is they're evergreen, right? And if I do an article in the newspaper, it'll be nice, but nobody's going to find it a week later. Whereas a podcast, people are always finding and they're sharing it out there. So it's a great medium and it's really morphing, right? Because people are taking podcasts now and you can download them on Facebook. You can put them on YouTube, Sirius XM. bought some podcast networks just for the content. You know, if you're watching YouTube and you hear a podcast interview, right? Or if you're driving in your car, listen to SiriusXM and you hear a podcast interview, is that still a podcast? I don't know. I don't care. Right. But are they hearing you? That's what's important.
You know, you're that person I could talk to for hours on end. And I know you, we talked a lot about the targeted interview strategy, and you've documented, you captured it all in the book that we've been talking about, which also includes an awesome 30-day strategy that I'm going to actually do myself. I blocked out May to do this. And the book is Podcast Guest Profits. It truly is like a roadmap. Why did you want to put all of it on paper, and who should get this book?
Part of it was to get it out of my mind, mm-hmm. and to put it down there, but then also to help people, right? It's not a secret. It's not magic. It's just a system. And it's a system that we've done, for 8 years now and had great results with it. So really it's for anybody that has a story to share. Right? Their biggest problem is obscurity, right? They could help a whole lot of people. You know, there's people that would gladly pay you right now. I don't care if you're in version 1.0, there's somebody on their knees right now praying for what you have to offer. The only problem is they don't know you exist. So a lot of people will say, should I be a podcast host or a podcast guest? I don't think it's an either or, right? Being a podcast host is a great way to nurture your current customers, nurture your current leads, but being a guest is how to get new ones, how to get that exposure. So really it's for anybody that has a message to share, has expertise to share, wants to attract the right clients, wants to do it in a way that's consistent with their brand. And the other thing that I want to point in there too, Carolyn, is that I'm not here to sell my book, right? You can buy it on Amazon, but if you want a copy of it, I'm happy to send you a copy. If you go to interviewvalet.com/letscoach, I'll put it right there. If you're in the United States, I'll mail you a copy. If you're outside, I'll send you a digital copy. But you know, it's just the playbook of what we do. It's not magic. It's not a secret. It's a strategy. And some people will come back and say, well, there's a lot of steps to that. Do I have to follow all of them? And I always say, no, you're an adult. You don't have to do anything. But I just know that this recipe works, right? This is what we have perfected there. Do you have to use, is it baking soda or baking powder in a cake? No, you don't have to, but you'll like the results a whole lot more.
And I'd say, like I said, I have personally read the book myself, and I think it's great. And thank you for, you know, offering it to send it to individuals. Even if you're the podcaster, if you're the host, it's a good book to read to kind of give you some ideas on how the guest that you're bringing onto your show and kind of getting into that mind space of the guest. And I think that makes for a better host. So I'm going to put you on the spot and take a tip from your book, the Podcast Guest Profits. And I'm going to ask a question and you can say no, you know, the answer can be no, but please explain why I asked it as a great learning moment for our listeners. Mm-hmm. So Tom, will you do a clip promoting the show?
Definitely. I at the end. Okay. So pulling behind the curtain here, right? I will tell people, when's this coming out? Because I want to promote it. I want to tell my team that this is coming out. I'll ask you, could I get a recording? You're recording this on Zoom. Could you just share that with me? Because I'd like to give this to my team so that they can start repurposing it and promoting it so that when you release it, we can release our stuff there too. So promoting it is definitely, you know, video shout outs. I love to do those. We have our team that will say, yeah, it was just on, you know, Let's Coach with Carolyn. It was great. Listen to it. And, you know, if you want to leave a review, I got 35 people on the team. They'll do that. You know, little things like that, because to me, it's about a relationship, right? If you look at this as just a transaction, Thank you, podcast host. I was glad to be here on your show, right? That's a transaction. That doesn't build a brand, doesn't build a business. But no, I want to build that relationship. So then, 3 years from now, when somebody's saying, how do you become a guest? Oh, let me share this episode with you. Tom, here, I'll give you an introduction there. The same way, I had mentioned this before, we've got a blog that we do, right? And it's 30 best podcasts for coaches. And we've done them for coaches, consultants, and speakers. Well, we just updated the list here for 2022. And Let's Coach is on there.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, for all the work that you do. Anybody that says doing a podcast is easy has never done it or never done it well, right? Just the great ones make it look easy. It's like playing football on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, I want to do that. I want to get paid millions. Well, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
And so that was probably one of the best tips that I got from the book was asking the guest to do a clip or some type of promotional piece. And I never do that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask today because I have read the book.
And one of the things that my team forever reminds me about is when somebody is saying something nice about you, be quiet. Don't talk over the clip, right? So oftentimes when somebody would say something nice, you'd hear me in the background. Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you, right? And believe I just gave you a testimonial in that, right? You could take that clip, cut it off where I just talked about great podcast. It's in the top 30 podcasts for coaches. You could take that 60-second one and put it that up as a something on the website, put it up on social media. And I'm like, I would love that too, right? Because wow, people get to hear my voice too. And it's just, everybody wins when we work together.
Wow. Thank you. This has been an awesome interview. Thank you so much. And for those people who've listened and they are not yet convinced of how doable this is and the difference it can make for them, what do you say to them?
You can't force anybody to do anything, right? But I would say, why did you become a coach? Because you know in your heart that you could help somebody. That what you do, what you know, could help somebody. And maybe not everybody, but there's certain people, like I said before, that are in tears right now. They're in pain. They're on their knees asking God for a solution, right?
Yes.
You're the solution, right? And we don't buy the best out there, right? We buy the best we know of. Right. So if they don't know you, you can't help them. And I would even say they could work with somebody that may not help them like you would. So it's one of those things. I've heard it before. It's like, well, I'm an introvert. I don't want to do this. All the rest of that. At a certain point, we just need to get over that. If we're going to help people, what's the same thing you would tell one of your clients if you were coaching? You got to take that brave step. You've got to do this. And once you do it, it's the first podcast, I guarantee you, will be your worst one and your scariest one. It's okay. You'll get better from there, right? And podcasting is not a gotcha, right? This is not 60 minutes where Carolyn had 10 questions and number 4 was a gotcha. No, it's a conversation. We can all do this. We've all been doing Zoom. And I would just encourage you, if you want to help people, you're not helping them by being the best kept secret. And if I can help you in any way with a free copy of the book, I'll put my calendar link on that page. Also, we've got a assessment, 10 questions, get your score on, would podcast interview marketing work for you? I'll put all of that back there on interviewvalet.com/letscoach.
Thank you so much. I know there are a lot of valuable resources, some that I have even utilized for my podcast. So definitely worth checking out. And so as we kind of close out and wrap up the interview, I would like to also invite you to come back when your next book comes out, One Conversation Away. I hope that you'll return so we can talk more about that as well.
I'd love to. And that's, I started with the how-to book, which is Podcast Guest Profits. And One Conversation Away is really the manifesto of why I believe this. I'm so frustrated at times when I hear people saying, you're one funnel away. I'm all for automation. There's a point for that. But the best things in my life did not come through a funnel. Right. My bride was introduced by someone else. That conversation, there was not a funnel of all 7 billion people in the world. And she just came through the funnel. No, the best things in life, you know, your next customer, your next employee, your next partner, all are going to come from conversation.
Awesome. I am looking forward to reading that because I really enjoyed the first book. So I'm definitely looking forward to the second one. So as we close out, I always close with this question. Well, 90% of the time, you have 30 seconds to leave a message with our audience. What is that message, that key takeaway that you'd like to leave them with?
What's ordinary to you is amazing to others. You've been blessed. You've been given things in your life to make your life better. But I believe that we've got a moral duty to help other people there too. So that would be my message and my plea to them.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Let's Coach. I have to tell you, you know, having worked with Interview Valet, knowing you, having met you, I never get nervous before an interview. But yesterday when I was preparing to record this, I was actually nervous, and that is because I admire you so much and the work that you've done. So I am very thankful that we got a chance to do this.
Thank you. This conversation fed my soul too.
And to our listeners out there, I want to thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of Let's Coach. This has been great. If you are a podcast host, if you are someone who's looking to grow your business or make some changes with your career, think about the things that we've talked about today and know that knowledge is so much more than power. It's about taking those steps, taking the action to grow and develop yourself personally and professionally. So until next time, I want you to remember, if it ain't broke, make it better. Have an awesome, blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.